We've been encouraged throughout this book to have hope in a hostile world. But what is its message? In chapter 11, Daniel is told about the kings of the north and south fighting against each other. There is death, lying, deceit, and God's people will be greatly affected. But there is still hope, a great hope, put to us in chapter 12. So turn with me, please, to Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. Daniel chapter 12, starting at verse 1. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress, such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, "It will be for a time, times, and half a time. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed." I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, "My Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?" He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then, at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance." We're going to read another passage from the Bible, for the Apostle John had a vision of the allotted inheritance that we just read about. So please turn with me to Revelation chapter 21, starting at verse 9, and we will continue until chapter 22, verse 5. Revelation chapter 21, starting at verse 9. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. We're going to hear God's word preached, and Dean will preach for us. Thanks.
Thanks, Rob. We'll keep your Bibles open, or open them up back to Daniel chapter 12, and let's pray as we come to God's word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great grace to us in giving us your word, in preserving your word, and in the work of your Holy Spirit in helping us to understand your word. Please give us of your Holy Spirit this evening, that we may not just hear the words, but understand them and to put them into practice in our daily lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Muhammad Ali, Tom Brady, Serena Williams, Michael Jordan, Lewis Hamilton, Nathan Lyon. What do all of these people have in common? Apart from all being sports people, they've all been called goats by their fans. No, they're not meaning a medium for legged, a medium-sized four-legged animal that's cranky most of the time and basically eats everything. Not referring to the goat back in Daniel chapter 8 who attacks a ram or any of the other animals mentioned throughout the book. That's not what's meant here. That's not what I mean by that. That's not what these fans mean by calling those people goats. Goat means greatest of all time. And it's actually quite a recent thing to call your favourite sports person, musician, actor, whatever, a goat. You know, you might have seen the emoji. You just put the name of the person and then the emoji of a goat. Greatest of all time. Well, you're probably already thinking, what on earth does that have to do with the book of Daniel? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we've seen in the book of Daniel a number of rescues by God, rescues of God's people. Firstly, Daniel was rescued from death when God gives him the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2. He actually ends up rescuing a whole lot of other people as well. Daniel's three friends are rescued from the fiery furnace by God in chapter 3. Daniel is again rescued by God from the lion's den in chapter 6. And they're just the ones that we know about. I don't know if you've noticed, but humanity seems to really love a good rescue story. If disaster movies are anything to go by, Sandy loves disaster movies, and we've watched quite a few disaster movies quite a few times. But also, this staggered me, 15 seasons of Bondi Rescue. If that's anything to go by, people love rescue stories. And I think that the reason that we love them is because that they have good endings. They have happy endings. And so let me share with you from Daniel chapter 12 what I believe is the goat of rescues, the greatest rescue of all time. And it is that for at least two reasons. Two that I'm going to focus on. Firstly, it's the greatest of all rescue because the creator of the universe is doing the rescuing. And therefore, secondly, if you are part of this rescue, then you will never need rescuing again. This rescue is the resurrection to eternal life in God's presence. But as we see in Daniel chapter 12, it's a rescue that only certain people will be part of, because God has a book of names. Friends, one of the challenges that we've experienced as we've gone through the book of Daniel is to try and work out if he's talking about his near future or the end of time itself, what the Bible often calls the day of the Lord. The fact is that Daniel seems to switch from one to the other without giving us an obvious statement that he's done so. Chapter 11. If you happen to read that during the week, you'll know that it's all about great battles between the kings of the north and south, probably the Syrian and Egyptian empires, both of which ceased to exist by about 150 BC, so 150 years before Jesus was born. They had both ended in the sense that Daniel is referring to them here. But in the first three verses of chapter 12, particularly in verse 2, Daniel is talking about the end of time when Jesus returns. Jesus actually does the same thing as that Daniel's done here. Jesus does that in Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 to 31. He mentions at the start of that passage the abomination that causes desolation. We have that there in Daniel 12:11. And he means an event that occurred just before the destruction of the Jerusalem temple in AD 70. But by the end of those verses, Jesus is talking about his own return from heaven to gather his elect. Daniel speaks of events near to his day in chapter 11, and then events surrounding the return of Jesus in chapter 12. The near future, the far future. He says there in chapter 12 that very clearly there will be a significant time of distress before the end. But that when the end does come, your people, who are those people? Everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. Like the separation of the sheep and goats that Jesus spoke about, Daniel says in verse 2 that the dead will wake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Then, using poetic parallelism, or saying the same thing in a slightly different way, Daniel here speaks of the wise as those who lead many to righteousness. Now, if you've been with us from the start of this series in Daniel, you'll know that wisdom is a theme throughout the book. Daniel and his three friends at the start are found to be extremely wise and knowledgeable, and they put it to use over and over again. But how did they get this way? Well, the narrator back in chapter 1, verse 17, tells us that it was a gift from God. And Daniel himself acknowledges that. He says the same thing in chapter 2, verse 21. And we see throughout the book that Daniel uses his wisdom to interpret dreams, but his ultimate purpose is to be a faithful witness to his God. He will not stop praying to his God, even though he's ordered to by the king. He wants to be a faithful witness to his God and call people to repentance. So how do we draw these threads of verses 1 to 3 together? Well, God's people are given wisdom by him to lead people to repent and believe in God. All who do repent and believe will experience hardship, but they will also then receive eternal life when Jesus returns, because their names are written in God's book. I'll say that again. God's people are given wisdom by him to lead people to repent and believe in God. All who do repent and believe will experience hardship, but they will receive eternal life when Jesus returns, because their names are in God's book. Well, what is this book that God has? Well, it's the same book that we read about in Revelation chapter 21. An angel shows John the bride of the Lamb, and what we see is the New Jerusalem, a city made up of living stones, those who trust in Jesus. And verse 27 said, "Nothing impure will ever enter it. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life." Now, I have a question to ask you that you need to answer about this book. But before we get to that question, we need to have a little look at the rest of the chapter, because it helps us, just as it helped Daniel, to make sure that we're focusing on the right things while we wait for Jesus to return. And the message of the final section of Daniel can be summarized, I think, as be careful what you focus on. Daniel has been given many visions. Some of them included time periods, and they've caused a lot of trouble for people trying to figure them out. Some of the visions made Daniel very afraid. Some confused him. The final vision in chapter 11 seems to cover a series of wars that for over about 150 years. The danger for us as we read Daniel and books like it is to try to figure out exactly who's being referred to where and when each event is going to happen or when each event did happen. But what is Daniel, here at the end of the book, told to do with all of these visions? Well, look at verse 4. Roll up and seal the scroll until the time of the end. The person telling Daniel to do this is that amazing-looking man dressed in linen from the start of chapter 10 that we were introduced to last week. Because chapter 10, 11, and 12 is the one event. And so if I could paraphrase verses 5 to 7 for us, even when this extra person, there's two other people here, one on either side of the river that Daniel's next to, and one of those asks how long all these events will last. How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? Well, the man says it's going to take as long as it'll take. That man dressed in linen, well, that's not a really great answer, is it? I want to know exactly when. I want dates, times, locations. No, it will take as long as it will take. And Daniel, he doesn't understand, and he asks for clarification in verse 8. Like, my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? Please, please explain. What's the answer? Go your way, Daniel, in verse 9. Again in verse 13. Go your way. Literally, he's told to walk. Keep moving, perhaps, we might say. Why? Well, because the vision is sealed. I mean, in other words, Daniel, keep doing what you've been doing because these things will not make total sense until they've happened. Perhaps not even after they've happened sometimes. But Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, you wise follower of God, don't worry about the minutiae, the fine details. Focus on God and wisely lead many to righteousness. There will, verse 13, be a time for you to rest, to die, because at the end you will rise from the dead to receive your allotted inheritance. Now, just think for a moment about those two last words and what they meant to a Jew. Allotted inheritance. The land promised to Abraham. The land God's people received under Joshua's leadership and enjoyed until exiled from it due to covenant unfaithfulness. The land that Daniel understood in chapter 9 was soon to be returned to them. The land that some had already returned to at the start of chapter 10. The land that Daniel himself would not see again. As spiritual children of Abraham, Christians look forward to the return of Jesus because we know that when he returns, our time of distress will be over. We will receive our allotted inheritance of eternal life in his presence. Remember what we read there in Revelation 22? The angel showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants, we might say, those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life, the book that Daniel mentions here, it's those servants who will serve him forever and ever. They will see his face. His name is on their foreheads. They will reign forever and ever with God. So having read that, I want to bring us back to what I mentioned earlier. The fact that there is a book that has some names and not others in it. And the question that we must all answer is your name in God's book? Now, this is not a book that you can look at by going to the library. If you could indeed go to the library, which you can't at the moment, so please don't try. This is a book that God keeps, and it is safe in his keeping. The names that are in God's book are there because those people have trusted in Jesus for salvation. They've turned from their sin against God and asked for him to forgive them. They've decided to follow God's ways instead of going their own way. And this doesn't happen because of any goodness in the individual, but as Daniel had put it back in chapter 9, it's because of God's great mercy. Just like the wisdom of Daniel and his friends, salvation and eternal life are gifts of God to be received, not earned. Now, if you are thinking, how dare you tell me to repent? I understand that that sounds offensive. But I'm just saying what God, through his people, has said all along. It's the same thing that Daniel had the gall to say to King Nebuchadnezzar, the great King Nebuchadnezzar, when he had his dream in chapter 4. You may remember, after interpreting the king's dream, Daniel said this, "Therefore, your majesty, be pleased to accept my advice," and this is my advice, "renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that if you do that, then your prosperity will continue." It's the same thing that Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery. After Jesus had dealt with her accusers, he says, "Go now and leave your life of sin." It's the consistent call in the Bible because it's the primary need of humanity. So if you are not yet a follower of Jesus, I encourage you, put that right today. Turn from your sin and cry out to God for mercy. He will hear. He will forgive. He will have your name in his book. What if you're already a Christian? What does Daniel chapter 12 say to you and me? Well, it says the same word of encouragement that the man dressed in linen said to Daniel. Go your way, keep walking, keep swimming, perhaps, if you like that metaphor. because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. What the man in linen tells Daniel and tells you and I is that we are to go about our master's business, not worrying about when this or that prophesied event will happen or when they did happen. They will and have happened in God's perfect timing, including the return of Jesus. That will happen when it happens. And even when there are distressing events that envelop God's people, like persecution, even to the point of death, God will deliver his people because their names are in his book. So don't focus on the things that we can't know or don't need to work out. Things that don't lead people to right living before God. Focus instead on the greatest rescue of all time and the most important question of whether someone's name is or is not in God's book, and lead them in the wise path of righteousness. That's what Daniel was encouraged to do. Keep doing what you've been doing, Daniel. Keep being a faithful follower of God and of pointing people to that God. You know, by this time, Daniel chapter 12, Daniel was probably in his late 80s, perhaps his early 90s. So it's not as if retiring is something that we do in the Christian life. You know, I've done enough witnessing, no. Whether you're a young Christian or an older Christian, keep walking before God. Keep seeking to present this greatest rescue of all time to all people. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you had a rescue plan in place before the creation of the world, that you had your book with names in it before the foundation of the world. We thank you that in time you brought your rescue plan to be. We thank you that the Lord Jesus came, lived that perfect life, died that sacrificial death to reconcile us to you. Father, I pray that you would help us to keep the main thing the main thing and leave the other details to you. Guide us in your wisdom day by day, that we may lead many to righteousness under your good hand. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.